searching podcasts for The Daily Perspective. Okay, The Daily Perspective podcast coming up.
Hello and welcome to this Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and a bit of absurdity. Hoping that you've had a good week and that, like me, you are really ready for a Friday. It is indeed Friday, and I'm glad to have you along today. Hopefully you are well, you and yours are doing okay, and everybody is safe. Yeah, it's still weird to say that. But I guess today, in this day and age, it's something you have to say. Although the violence has dialed back a great deal, I think it's important for us to, as they say, keep your head on a swivel and be safe. Because you just never know what some crazy people are gonna do. So here we are on a weekend. We've got a Saturday and a Sunday ahead of us, and hopefully you have wonderful plans for your weekend, and hopefully you're going to have a good one that you and yours somehow will have a chance to get together and just have some fun together and enjoy your life, because you should. Things need to go back to normal. You know what I mean? Just absolute normal, real normal, not the normal that they would like to foist upon us, but normal. You know, everyday normal. I realize that progressives are trying to create a new normal. They want us to accept certain things. Well, we don't have to accept progressive normality. We can just embrace normal, because normal is good. We've been programmed for a long time. They've been slamming it at us, throwing it at us, throwing it on the wall, hoping it will stick and we'll accept it, that things which are far from normal, many things which are deeply abnormal, should be just accepted. And I disagree. I disagree strongly. Because when you allow the abnormal to become the norm, then you turn everything on its edge. And you end up with what we have today: people demanding to be accepted for their imagination, for what they imagine themselves to be, what they imagine the world around them should be, rather than what it actually is and can be if we embrace the true normality. I know there are going to be people who say, well, who's to say what's normal? Well, I could ask you the same question, because you insist on things being accepted as normal, that science has proven not to be normal, that medicine has proven not to be normal, that just human nature and honesty have proven not to be normal. So you challenge me and ask me who says what's normal? I suggest you go back and check your own credibility. But here we are at a weekend. And I would encourage you, as I said, to spend some time unplugging and enjoying life, real life, and not concerning yourself with the idiocy that's going on. Now, be aware that today you should probably pay attention, because it is a Friday. And Fridays are when the people who are trying to deceive everyone like to drop their news stories, because nobody's paying attention on a Friday. Everybody is focused on the weekend, like I just said. So until the end of the Friday, it's a good idea to keep an eye on what's happening, because people on the left, the Democrats, the socialists, the progressives, they like to release little tidbits on Fridays when the news cycle is looking the other direction. And if the news corporations are paying attention, they bury those stories somewhere behind everything they want you to see. So, pay attention today and see what happens. A lot of times, the positive news that we should be getting gets dumped on a Friday and buried. Things that our president does that are good for us, things that are happening in the country that are good for us, those stories will get dumped on a Friday as well, because the news media want to say, oh yeah, we covered that, but they also want to hide it. So, as I said, it's Friday. Pay attention. Wow, so much to talk about today. The mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, has done the most amazing flip-flop, and I have audio of both sides of the flip. I have the flip and the flop. There's a poll out about America's views of local police. And I have to say that I read this story on its source website. I copied and pasted all of my information into my list for today from the source website. Earlier this morning, I went and looked at this story on the source website. And a few moments ago, as the intro music was playing, I was opening my pages to talk about things today. And this particular website with this story is now inaccessible. Because they released, I would say, because they released a poll showing that 72% of voters, including most black voters, have a favorable view of local police departments. 72%. Now, I don't know if this particular website is just having issues, if somebody went to do an update, because when you go to it, it's just thenews.com. But right now, it looks like, there's a message up, an error message that a webmaster, whoever runs their website and maintains their website, would recognize as an error message that someone had tried to install something on their website incorrectly. And it makes me wonder if possibly someone hacked their website and took it down because of their story about this particular poll. But that's okay, because I have the gist of the story from other places, and I'll share that with you right now. Cheryl Atkinson, from CherylAtkinson.com. 72%, including most black voters, have a favorable view of local police. Other data shows it's quite possible to have a positive view of both the police and the protesters. Most voters do. That's according to Scott Rasmussen. You know that name, Rasmussen polls. They tend to be the most reliable ones. That's what Scott Rasmussen said over at Just the News. Now, here is an excerpt from that story, which has been copied over to Cheryl Atkinson's site. Even in the midst of heightened racial tensions after the death of African-American George Floyd at the hands of Minneapolis police, 72% of American voters, including 51% of black voters, have a favorable view of their police department, according to a new Just the News daily poll with Scott Rasmussen. Quote, it's important to note that a majority of voters in every demographic group have a favorable opinion of their local police department. There are differences, of course. Rural voters are more positive in their assessment than urban voters, whites more positive than blacks. But it would be a mistake to focus on the differences of degree while ignoring the common ground. Wow. And the rest of the story I would love to bring you, but justthenews.com is down. And you've listened to me for long enough, and if you haven't, you don't know this, but I'm not a conspiracy theory guy. I'm just not. I play along sometimes just for grins, because sometimes it's entertaining and amusing, but when it comes right down to the bottom line, I'm just not a conspiracy theory guy. I do see A plus B equals C, and oh my goodness, from time to time, but I'm not willing to jump on board that train, the conspiracy train, because I have learned over the course of my life that if you just wait a few days, you start seeing real things explaining what's happened. But I, because I have been dealing with the content and production of websites for quite some time, I'm not one of these guys who can sit down and write code. I admire those guys. Those guys, it's like in the movie The Matrix, where they're sitting there looking at all that code on the screens and say, I see a blonde, a redhead, a brunette. You know, that I don't see websites that way. I'm not that talented, but I have been involved with the process of producing and publishing websites off and on for, well, 15 years or so, maybe longer. And I recognize an error message and what that means. And when I see this particular error message, it makes me wonder, considering the impact of this particular survey and what it means to right-thinking people, honest people, to see something like this happen, it makes me really wonder, did somebody gain access to the back end of this, of justthenews.com and try to install something over their website? Things that make you go, Now, here's the thing. You can go, or I did, I don't know, if you're listening to the recorded version of the podcast later on, if you go to justthenews.com and it comes up, that means they've probably fixed the problem. But the link I have goes to justthenews.com/politics-policy/polling/poll-finds-72-voters-including-most. You know, it's the name of the thing with dashes. But it is a very specific link to a specific place, a specific folder and a file. Actually, one, two subfolders and a specific document on this website. And when you go to the website, what reads out in the bar, in the address bar, is justthenews.com/core/install-php. And they are apparently, or I don't know if they were, someone tried to install it, Drupal, which is a website building platform. It's kind of like WordPress, in that sort of a genre. But when you look at their website, what you get is a big black page with this message on it instead of their website. And because, like I said, because of the importance of the information that this poll tells us, I'm strongly suspicious that somebody has monkeyed with their website, because no doubt it's been getting a lot of traffic as people realize I wasn't wrong. And this is probably something you have thought as well, because if you think about your friends, your neighbors, your co-workers, regardless of their racial, of their ethnicity, of their backgrounds, most all of us, almost all of us, the vast majority of us, don't have a problem with the police. And the reason we don't have a problem with the police is because we don't give them a reason to have a problem with us. So most of us have thought, yeah, that's about right, 72%. I would have said higher. Have a favorable view of police. And it's just a small percentage of our society that does, and by and large, they do because they've been told to. But this survey comes out showing this to be true, polling, I think it was 1,200 likely voters from across America. It's a Rasmussen poll. They're generally rock solid. And it's actually reflecting the reality, and then the website that did the poll goes down. Sometimes I joke about it, but this is one of those things that makes you say, don't you think? I do. But you can go over to CherylAtkison.com and see the story there. I'll include that link in today's show notes as well, because you do need to see it. And I do encourage you to get the show notes, as always. That's just loony. And it's a little scary. It'll be interesting to find out later on when the folks over at justthenews.com get the problem fixed. It'll be interesting to see what they have to say about it. Did their website management team make a mistake? Or were they hacked? Good question. And one I think we need some answers to, don't you? Because more information is always better. But progressives don't want you to have more information. They just want you to have their information. It is the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Friday, the 12th day of June, 2020. Thank you so much for being there. I do appreciate it. No, I'm not a raving conspiracy theorist. It's just when I see something like that, my eyebrows go up and I say, hey, that ain't right. And I was just getting ready to put that link up on the Daily Perspective page. Oh, we'll get to that in a little bit. How about that? Let's see here. What else was I going to tell you about it? I told you that I was going to have some scheduling issues next week. So let me pull that up and have a look at what happens here next week. Actually, no, I'm not. I will not be having scheduling issues next week. I thought I was going to, but I'm not. Because I have, I just have two things scheduled. They're both on Monday. The first one's at 11 a.m., so it looks like everything is cool for next week. So, never mind. I mentioned something about, I told you about Dollar Shave Club the other day and how I just canceled my membership with Dollar Shave Club because they're giving $100,000 to Black Lives Matter. And given what we know now that Black Lives Matter is actually funneling all their donations through Act Blue, and Act Blue is set up to fund Democrat candidate campaigns. You put two and two together, or two and two and two, and you come up with, ain't happening. So we're not going to be giving the Dollar Shave Club any more money. None whatsoever. Not going to happen. Not going to give Dollar Shave Club another dime. Nothing. Okay. All right. Well, I told you that the other day that I had found this Duke Cannon, company, and part of their proceeds from every sale go to help veterans. And, so I ordered some soap from them and holy cow, it came in the mail yesterday. And I think our postal carrier is a lady, and I think she got a whiff of it and she tore the package open just a little bit because it smells. Woo, it smells good.
Dang it, Bobby.
Yeah, dang it, Bobby. It smells really good. Well, it was torn open a bit. I pulled it open when it came yesterday and I actually had to open each box and smell each bar of soap before big honking big bars of soap in this package. And I got this soap is probably going to last me until next year. I got enough soap here. It's just incredible, but it's just great. And the fact that the folks over at Duke Cannon actually support veterans with the proceeds of every sale, I feel good about that. It's not cheap. I mean, there are four gigantic bars of soap that come in this box. And it's like $24.95, but the thing is, it's a little bit. Yeah, I know you can buy bars of ivory for next to nothing, but this stuff smells great, and it's helping to support veterans as well. So I'm all for it. So just keep that in mind. If you're one of many, and I've seen many responding to my posts online, especially on Twitter, about dropping my my membership with Dollar Shave Club. A lot of people have responded and said, yeah, they're doing the same thing. So if that's one, if you're one of those people, then by all means, look over at Duke Cannon for stuff like that, because they don't have razor blades and stuff, but they do have products for men that smell like something men should be wearing. They're not perfumey. They smell like a guy should smell. I got to tell you, that's the place to go. Very happy with what I've gotten so far. All right, let's see. Let me get back to where I need to be here, because I got to move here. I'm not sure if I have a time for this. Okay, now, it started out well. It ended badly. The mayor of Madison, Wisconsin, Satya Rhodes Conway, decided Monday it would be a good idea to speak some words of encouragement for the city's police department. It was an unusually sincere and humble statement coming from a politician. She acknowledged that between the pandemic and the riots, they must be exhausted. She recognized how difficult it must be to do your job when the people around you are insulting you and calling you all kinds of monstrous things you're not. She assured them she knows they're not those things. Probably very well received by Madison police, cops all across the country. They're just not getting the love these days. This is what she had to say.
Hello, MPD family. Mayor Satya here. These past few months have been extraordinary times in this city's history. And the past few days have taken us even further into uncharted territory. We're all living through a pandemic, which has put all of you in more danger than usual. And you have had to adapt how you work in incredible ways. And now we have unprecedented protests, violence, and looting. None of us asked for these challenges, and we are all learning as we go. You must be exhausted. I know I am, and you're facing a much more difficult situation than I am. It must be absolutely infuriating to stand in heavy gear outside while listening to people constantly insult your chosen profession. It must be frightening to stand and have rocks and other things thrown at you and to be in harm's way constantly. And it must be agonizing to have worked so hard for so many years to build relationships around our city, to be as committed as I know you are to community policing, and to still be criticized for not doing enough. I spoke with an officer in the CCB garage recently who said that they hoped I know how hard it is and that you are not what the protesters say you are. I know that. I know that you are working hard and doing an amazing job under unbelievably hard circumstances, and I thank you for your service. In a large organization like ours, communication can be really, really hard. And during times of crisis, communications often become so focused on the tasks at hand that we forget the importance of communicating about taking care of ourselves and others. I'm here talking to you today because I have come to realize that I have not taken the opportunity to express my gratitude for your service or to adequately acknowledge the personal and collective sacrifices that you each have made during these incredibly challenging times. I was so focused on the task of addressing the concerns of our community that I didn't remember that you need and deserve both recognition and appreciation. So please know how much I appreciate you personally, your hard work, your courage, your sacrifice, and your service. Thank you. Be safe, be well, and please take care of yourselves and each other.
Well, she did make an excuse for herself towards the end there, but she at least did acknowledge what was going on with the cops. And she did that out the front door. I mean, like she should have, actually. Unfortunately, whatever value this may have had to Madison cops was, it didn't last long, because the ascendant activist of the moment got hold of the video. She was given a little talking to. You don't tell the police they're good public servants, after all. You do not tell the police they are not evil monsters. You do not thank them for the work they do. This would not do. And she folded like a cheap suit.
Black lives matter. I believe this deeply, and yet I failed to center this message in my message to the police department. I realize that this action has caused deep harm to the Black community, and for this, I apologize. I realize I may have done irreparable harm with my actions. I realize, too, that I may have permanently lost any trust that I have had. But whether or not I can regain that trust, please know that I am deeply committed to advancing the work of equitable systems change. It's why I ran for office, and it is the work that I continue to strive to do. I cannot promise that I will not make missteps along the way, particularly as a white woman, learning how to facilitate such change and realizing that I cannot fully see the system that has been built up to benefit me and others like me. But I promise I will learn from those mistakes, and I will strive to center equity in every decision. And I promise that I will continue to communicate with and listen deeply to Black leaders in our community. While my learning and work continue, in efforts to be transparent and to have the community hold me to account, I post regular communications on my blog. I encourage everyone to read those communications to learn what we're doing about criminal justice reform, economic development and community wealth building, affordable housing, and more. All these efforts to address the inequities that our existing systems have perpetuated.
You know, what's interesting is the first video sounds natural and sincere. That video sounds forced and scripted, almost like a hostage video. It's the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast, about halfway through this particular edition. So, back to this mayor of Madison. Why is there any inherent contradiction between affirming the dedication and good nature of your own local police and supporting the notion that Black lives matter? If the Madison police have no record of racist justice, police brutality, and abuse of power, what's wrong with commending them for that thing? Why can't you be 100% in favor of racial justice and still be 100% in favor of your police force? I think it's fairly clear that somebody had a sit down with the good mayor and told her, this is what you're going to do if you want to keep your position. It really does seem that way. It's much more obvious in the second video that she's reading. If you actually watch the video, go to the show notes today and get this. This is a story from HermanCain.com. You will find this story in the show notes. Go look at these videos and you'll see she's checking her notes in both videos. The first one was a cell phone video. You could hear her phone chiming. You could hear her email chime going off and things like that. And clearly, she's so used to hearing those go off all the time that it didn't even faze her when it happened while she was recording the video. Now, people like me, it would drive me nuts. I would stop everything. I would shut the sound of the computer and the phone off and then start over, just so that the focus was on what I had to say. But she clearly, she has these noises going on around her all the time. She didn't even think twice about it. So it's also vertical video, you know, like people hold their phones up and shoot vertically. Your TV doesn't hang on the wall that way. I still don't understand why you do your phone video that way. But anyway, it's very clear that she just She did that. She staged the beginning of it. I cut the little bit at the beginning of it off where she wasn't talking because she made it a point to wear her multicolored mask and then take the mask off to make her speech in her little head nod towards social distancing and being safe during the COVID-19 pandemic. But it's obviously a much more different tone. She's relaxed. She's sincere. And you can tell what she's saying is from the heart. Even her little excusing herself there. Well, I've been so busy and focused on this, I forgot about you. Well, that's not actually the sign of a good leader. But if the police are that important, then they should have been a consideration all along, not just an afterthought. So it was an afterthought for her. But then she comes back around with this next video, which is not a cell phone video. And if it is a cell phone video, it's a much better quality one. It is horizontal. It is focused properly. It is, well, not that the other one wasn't focused properly, but you can tell she's standing in front of a camera and she is also consulting notes again. But her eyes are going to the notes. It's not a teleprompter. She can see her. She's looking off to one side at notes. She's going to the notes more often and she is not as comfortable with what she is saying. It does sound like a hostage video. Now, if the nation has a real opportunity to address issues of police brutality, which are rare, but just like anything, this is something I talk about on a regular basis. The news media jumps on the sensational. So when there is a case where a police officer has shot or otherwise killed a black citizen, or there is an altercation, a fight between a police officer and a black citizen, if there is a chase, anything like that, and it involves a white police officer and a black citizen, the leftist news media jumps all over it and makes it a story. But those stories are relatively rare. All things considered, when you think about the number of encounters police have with people of all stripes every year, those particular stories in the bigger picture are rather rare. But we hear about them more because the news media goes for sensationalism. Because the news media knows sensationalism attracts viewers, and the more viewers you have, the higher your ratings are, and the higher your ratings are, the more ad revenue you can generate. It's money. All these people, these leftists, talking about the evils of capitalism. Capitalism drives the news media. And capitalism in the hands of irresponsible, immoral people can be a bad thing. But capitalism weeds those people out as the customer realizes they're dealing with bad people. Now, the news media loves a good sensational story, so that's why you hear about these stories. Not because they're necessarily the norm, but because they're not. They're unusual. And that unusual nature also makes them sensational. So, if we're going to look at everything in perspective, we have to realize that things like George Floyd, the case of George Floyd, Trayvon Martin, all these other ones, they are unusual. And that by and large, as we said before, most people have a favorable view of their local police departments. Because on the local level, they see what's going on up close, closer to them at least, than in some other city far away. So most people have a favorable view of their police departments. Some do not, and I would say that a certain percentage of those who do not have had negative experiences, and sometimes those are bad cops, and sometimes it's because they were doing something they shouldn't have been doing, and they didn't like being stopped for it. It's kind of like that friend of yours who gets caught for speeding all the time, and they're fussing about the cops are always out to get him. Well, if you weren't speeding, they wouldn't be stopping you, pal. And when I point at that person, I have fingers pointing back at me. Because as I told you not long ago, I like to drive fast. I kind of like to push things to the edge sometimes. That little dinky Miata out in the garage. That's a lot of fun to drive on a twisty country road. And if I pass a sheriff while I'm having fun, odds are I'll see in a moment or two, I'll see lights in my rearview mirror. So I understand what that's about, but I'm not blaming the police. God, nuts. I got caught. It's all on me. But the thing is that there are those, and you know these people, who have to blame somebody else for their stupidity. It's always going to happen. But by and large, the vast majority, according to the Rasmussen poll, 72% of Americans polled have a favorable view of their police. I think most people realize that this is unusual. It doesn't happen everywhere. It's not a frequent thing. And what we're being told by the news media and by entities like Black Lives Matter, we're being told lies. Things are being misrepresented. The finer details are being glossed over. And I think most people realize that's the truth. Now, in the case of the mayor of Madison, if this is the way it's going to be approached, we're going to blow things. We can't force everyone to treat the police as detestable racist enemies. We can't bully everyone into using only the approved language, saying only the approved things, and issuing groveling apologies if they dare to speak what they're really thinking. Drew Brees. There's no reason to think Mayor Rhodes Conway is anything but 100% supportive of the quest for justice, fairness, and dignity for black people. There's no inconsistency between that and the belief that the Madison Police Department is better than the protesters might be saying. And it's her job as mayor to be a supportive leader for all city employees, including the cops. Her approach on Monday, video number one, was exactly the right approach. Affirm the good police officers while also seeking solutions to the problems that afflict the black community. That's how good leaders bring people together. But she clearly wasn't committed to that approach because as soon as she got a little pressure, she caved. This needs to stop. People who want to help don't need to be bullied into humiliations like this because they think for themselves and speak for themselves. The nation is ready to be united behind solutions to police brutality and racial injustice. If you want to destroy that unity, this is how you do it. Just saying. It's disturbing to me that she folded like she did. And it's clear to me from watching the video, that second video, that her heart was not in that second video. And that there was, you might say, a come to Jesus meeting. She was told, this is what you're going to do if you want to stay in office. And she didn't have the backbone to stand up to the people who were threatening her. She folded. And that's sad. And I feel sorry for the people of Madison, because that's their mayor. And I have to say, I see things like that happening across the country. I see people bowing to the fearmongers. I see people looking out for their career rather than what's right, which is what this woman has done. At least that's what it appears to me. Because she's looking at her political future, not the good of the people. And she's making a serious mistake by doing so. She's not helping her people. Because when you bow to the mob. You're showing the people you won't defend them. And hopefully the people of Madison, Wisconsin recognize this. And when it comes election time, they'll look for somebody with some backbone who will stand up to the mob and refuse to bow to those idols just to be accepted. You know, this weekend I may just have to pull up my bumper music rotation and just listen to it over and over again. Oh, some of these tunes. Well, it is the final segment of the Friday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast for this 12th day of June 2020. Hopefully you're planning a great weekend. Going to do some things you enjoy. Have some fun. Unplug from the depression and the anxiety that is the news today. And live your life. And remember, you don't have to accept anything they're calling a new normal. Well, going over to Patriot Post US, there's a story about statistics on police shootings. And I think it's an important thing to look at because, as I've told you many, many times, we're not being told the truth about a lot of things. And I have discovered in when you read the comments below articles, you will see progressives, liberals, leftists jumping in into the comments and pulling up statistics and providing links and such to prove their point. And what they use as sources, by and large, are debunked sources and twisted views of things. Manipulation of statistics, focusing on tiny little irregularities as opposed to looking at the general realistic picture. A Washington Post headline this week says, protests spread over police shootings. Police promised reforms. Every year they still shoot and kill nearly 1,000 people. Well, we all wish we lived in a world where police didn't kill anyone because they didn't have to kill anyone. Unfortunately, we live in the real world where some people, sometimes raging under the influence of drugs, are belligerent and violent towards those who volunteer to keep law and order. The Washington Post's provocative headline doesn't even come close to conveying that very real nuance. First, some of the Post statistics. Quote, since 2015, police have shot and killed 5,400 people. Broken out by year, that's 994, 962, 986, 991, 1,004, and 463 so far this year, respectively. It is indeed rather remarkable that 2020 is outpacing even 2019, given the COVID shutdown, but that's another story. The Post also notes, the overwhelming majority of people who are killed are armed. Nearly half of all people fatally shot by police are white. But then it adds, quote, since the Post began tracking the shootings, black people have been shot and killed by police at disproportionate rates, both in terms of overall shootings and the shootings of unarmed Americans. The number of black and unarmed people fatally shot by police has declined since 2015, but whether armed or not, black people are still shot and killed at a disproportionately higher rate than white people. Where to begin? First, as Mark Alexander wrote several years ago, quote, when 90% of murders in urban centers are people of color and 90% of perpetrators are people of color, cops of any color are going to be more cautious with people of color. Unfortunately, that also includes more deadly confrontations. Second, researcher Heather McDonald has gone to great lengths to prove that, quote, there is no epidemic of racist police shootings, end quote. Thirdly, as Gary Bauer notes, quote, 35 paragraphs into the Post's story, these hacks finally got to the most relevant information. There has been a 60% decrease in the number of unarmed people shot and killed by police officers since 2015. In other words, police have made strides in better training and response. Fourth, to be abundantly clear, just because someone is unarmed doesn't mean they're not incredibly dangerous. Even Barack Obama's Justice Department, they should have been called the Social Justice Department, found that the 2014 killing of Michael Brown in Ferguson, the death that sparked most of this anti-police outrage with the phony hands up, don't shoot slogan. By the way, it was never said. It was made up. They say it was justified despite Brown being unarmed. And by the way, according to the FBI, hands, fists, feet, etc. kill far more people each year than rifles of any type. Yet all we hear about is banning so-called assault weapons, not the murder spree committed by literally unarmed people. None of this is to say George Floyd's death was justified. In fact, we've gone to great lengths repeatedly to call it unjustified and negligent. All of us have. And it isn't to say that every person killed by police deserved it. There are wrongful deaths, and offending police should be held to account. The officers responsible for Floyd's death have been charged. Though you have to wonder if Minnesota Attorney General Keith Ellison isn't setting that up for failure to spark more riots. And why do we say this? I'll say this because succeeding on the charges he's made against them is going to be tough. And if they aren't charged and convicted, there will be backlash. And that backlash will be the burning of more buildings, more businesses, more cars, more violence. As with every human situation, reforms to police departments are sometimes needed. However, leftists are either using emotional anecdotes as data or manipulating actual data to produce an emotional response, all in service to a bogus narrative of systemic racism. That narrative will make a compromise on useful reforms much harder. This is something I've talked about before. Emotion. These people are fanning the flames of emotion and doing so fraudulently. They're talking about systemic racism, but there really isn't systemic racism. You cannot realistically support the claim. It's just not there. The United States is one of the most non-racist nations on the planet. When you look at the reality of things, people are coming here to get away from real racism. People are not leaving here to get away from racism. People are coming here to get away from racism. And if you think those people are making a mistake, maybe you should pack your bags and find some place that is less racist. Really, truly, honestly, less racist than the United States of America. If you find such a place, please let the rest of us know where that is. And I have to qualify that. You have to be honest. You can't just tell us so-and-so said this country is less racist or that America is the most racist, because that is a lie. The studies, the statistics, everything proves that America is not a racist country. It was not founded upon racism. It is not woven into the fabric of our society. None of the things the progressives are telling you about racism in America is actually true. The fact is, racism is so rare that stories are having to be manufactured about racism to get people angry about it. Racism is so uncommon that people have to stage racist attacks against themselves to get people stirred up about it. It happens on college campuses. It happens with Hollywood actors. Oddly enough, at like 1 o'clock in the morning and 13 below zero. It happens fairly frequently that these instances are manufactured in order to stir people's emotions, because it's unusual today. And that's it for this day and this week. Thank you so much for hanging in this week. We'll see you again on Monday for the next edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Take the next 2 days off. How's that?